Welcome, 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 one and all, to another edition of the Center Ring TCR, for short, also known as your favorite esports podcast. Quite possibly your only esports podcast. So by default, we're your favorites. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We have a wonderful show for you today, possibly our best show ever. I'm looking at the lineup, and oh boy, hold on to your butts, because it's a good one. The date, June 1st, 2016, the time exactly 9:20, hold on, wait for it, 9:21 exactly, June 1st, 2016, so you can fact check us when we're wrong. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. My co-pilot, my first mate, is Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Good, good. I appreciated the Jurassic Park reference.
Always, man. It's Jurassic Park. You can never go without it. I appreciate you noticing the Jurassic Park reference. Are you excited for the show?
Always excited for the show. Like you said, every episode's the best episode ever. I'm ready to get started.
Can't wait. And what do we have for you today? We will always have what we're now calling, so we used to call it the micro. In the pre-show meeting, I made an executive decision, and we're going to rebrand the micro as E-News, as a spinoff from the radio station I work at for entertainment news. But guess what? We're an e-sports podcast, and everybody just throws E on everything. So why not make it E-News?
I was totally okay with this as long as we don't capitalize the N after the E.
We'll discuss that later. But for right now, we have E-News that's always going to wrap up the show. Then, the return of quite possibly the most excellent segment ever. The only returning segment really on the show. We have Clutch or Kick. That's the segment where we're going to dive into some news stories that we'll make the decision if you need to pay attention to them going on in the future, or if you can just kick it out of the way and toss it up to just another esports drama. E-drama, if you will. We will also talk about the first weekend of Overwatch. We had some first tournaments, two big ones, I guess you could say. So we want to talk about that. But to start the show, I want to talk about E-League, which everybody knows what it is now. We're in the middle of the second week. So we're not like breaking news stories or anything with this, but you know, the way our schedules work out, we didn't get to talk about it after week one. So we have to talk about it in the middle of week two, which is fine. So far, I'm pretty happy with it. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about our impressions on E-League, or do you want to talk about the performance?
Let's talk about our impressions first. Cause I do kind of, we, during the pre-show meeting, watched a couple things, read a couple things. I really appreciate the amount of effort TBS is putting into this. And I really appreciate the fact that they have done it the right way. This looks like an esports event, and it feels like an esports event. It doesn't feel like what my mom would think an esports event is, which is obviously what everybody would say.
Just people CGS sitting on was. Their couch and
yeah. Right. They've got the awesome stage setup. The awesome desk setup, the crowd, it's in Atlanta. And it's a studio, so there's never going to be that many people.
Can I stop you there? Because I posted on the subreddit's Discord about this to make sure that maybe I'm being a jackass when I say this. Okay, maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy. I'd almost rather not have crowd shots.
That's what I was going to say.
It's super awkward to me when you go to the crowd and I'm trying to talk my friends up. Man, you have to watch it. Give it a shot. It's actually really entertaining. They were doing a really good job. Everybody, the desk and, Semler and everybody was doing a really good job at explaining the game for the layman, right? Like, if you didn't know what Counter-Strike was, they were doing a really good job of explaining it for newcomers, but not giving me tired head as someone who knows everything they're talking about.
Right.
Which is something Heroes of the Dorm when they were describing Heroes of the Storm, I felt like they were really spoon-feeding you. Whereas opposed to this, they weren't spoon-feeding you everything, but they were giving you enough to know the terminology.
What was going on.
Yeah, explain things that maybe if you're not a constant viewer of esports or Counter-Strike to pick up on. So I love that. But then I fear that if my friends are watching this and all of a sudden they cut to the crowd, and it's, what would you say, 75 to 100?
If that, yeah.
I'm eyeballing it.
Yeah.
When it's full, it might be closer to 200 because there is like a back area there. But from what we see on TV, I would say any given day other than Friday, 75 to 100 people. Average age, probably 14.
Yeah, that's, I definitely noticed that was, it was a very, very young crowd.
Okay. So that's already making me feel a little awkward when I suggest my friends to watch this. And if I see one more DAP or Vape Nash sign, I'm going to drive my car into oncoming traffic.
Well, yeah, we ran into that at the major too. It's the thing, I guess, now.
We're getting old.
It's a get off my lawn moment.
Maybe we're getting old, and this is just old man Tim telling you to get off my lawn, but I don't like it. I'd rather not see the crowd because it makes me hate myself for liking this. Like, is this my community? Is this what I've...
This is what I put my effort behind.
This is what I am going for. This is what I want to do. Okay, all right, well, let's do this then. Let's get used to this.
Yeah, no, I totally agree about the crowd. It was...
It's just weird, and then...
It's just too small. I don't even care about the kids.
And nothing feels more weird when you hear the crowd mic, and you can tell it's only about 75 people.
Yeah, it's just when you turn and you pan to it, and there's only 75 people, you're like, oh, that's all that showed up? It's like, instead, just have it closed off. Don't worry about crowd shots. Do some entertaining like commercials or bits or something. Like, give the desk something else to do. I mean, I know they already do a ton, but just, I know it's filler. It's just embarrassing to see.
It's my weird feel. It makes me very uncomfortable. Physically, I am uncomfortable when I see that. I think I'm just being an ass, but maybe I'm not. Let me know on Twitter, at The Center Ring, if you agree with us, then maybe just skip the crowd shots or have less. Or if a kid throws up a dab, you know what a dab is, right? That's like,
yeah,
where arm into your other, like this thingy.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe just remove them from the building.
I know the origin of the dab too, and it's pretty funny to watch 12-year-olds doing it.
Just remove them from the building.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Is that too much? To remove 12-year-old from building.
So, and moving on to the topic of the desk, I was very apprehensive at first about Mo.
Me too.
I'm really pleased with him on the desk.
I like Mo.
Mo is a big man. Mo is saying some things on the desk that I'm like, he said that, and he's right.
Yeah.
He's being PC, but he's letting the words fly when they need to be. He's saying what needs to be said.
I'm very pleased overall with the talent and the desk, because I was with you. When I first saw Mo, I think I texted you and was like, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
But he's doing a really good job on it.
I was like, there's no way Mo can fill his entire thing with screams and stuff like he does his stream. So
as far as in general production goes, I know some people were saying they were having issues with the music and like the swooshing noise.
That was the thing I saw the most complaints about on like Twitter were the music and the transitions.
I guess I wasn't just paying attention that much at the transitions to see that if it bothered me.
Didn't bother me at all.
I'll have to go back and watch. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention to notice. They didn't bother me. But overall, I think it was a success as far as they didn't crash and burn point of view. And I know the ratings came out the other day this was Friday. Obviously the ratings and everything throughout the week were really well on Twitch. And even on Friday, they did well on Twitch, but looking at TV, because honestly, that's what this whole league is about.
We knew it would do well on Twitch. Yeah.
Right. I don't care how it does on Twitch. I'm more interested on TBS and everything there. It pulled a 0.21, according to Mr. John O'Rand on Twitter. And he's verified, so he has to be somewhat important. It pulled a 0.21. He doesn't mention if that's a share or a rating. Doesn't make a huge difference as far as the number goes, but for the sake of discussion, I would like to know if it was a share or rating, because there is a difference between them. But basically, it pulled a... It went one-third of the time period for the previous 3 weeks on TBS. So typically, for the last 3 weeks, that time slot pulled a 0.61.
So it got one-third of the viewers that it typically does.
0.21.
Yeah, I was looking at their press release from week one saying that they got 509,000 total viewers on TBS.
Which sounds a lot better than a 0.21.
Yeah. What is your opinion on that? Compare it to what was there. I mean, what was there before was Big Bang Theory or something.
Yeah,
it has and I know to be everybody rerun. Threw out that it got nowhere close to Big Bang Theory, but it's like, well, this is a sporting kind of esports tournament. That is a comedy skit show that's been around for
years. This is my theory, or this is how I feel about that. When I saw the 0.21, honestly, I didn't care because I did not go in. No one, I feel like no one should have thought going into Friday that E-League was going to break records. If you honestly thought it was going to pull, you know, some NFL numbers, then I think you're naive in what it is that you're watching. I think you must live in a very small world if you thought this was going to break records on TBS on a Friday.
Yeah,
it's like that's not even, yeah, it's prime time, but on a Friday, it's the safe prime time where you put either shows that you're testing or shows that you're trying to kill.
Right. Yeah, well, it's the dead time, yeah.
And in this case, obviously, they want to introduce it at a time where
They're not willing to bump other things to put this out there.
Exactly.
Not yet.
And that's a key point there, and I think, like I said, yeah, the ratings aren't anything to write home about, but that's not what this was about, was the ratings. It was proving that it can work.
And I mean,
and it did work.
It lent credence to all of the talk about how gamers already watch all their stuff on Twitch. I mean, they had 92,000 concurrent streams at its peak, and that's for the first group stage of a 10-week-long tournament. I mean, it's brand new. Yeah, that was its first week, but that's pretty decent. That's pretty good for group play, where sometimes you don't even get group play streamed anywhere.
I agree, and I think that for the sake of, like I said, the argument of it worked, it did go over, so we're going to have to figure something out there.
It did go
over the time slot.
It's Counter-Strike.
Which I get that it's very difficult to try and peg a time slot when it comes to Counter-Strike or esports in general, where one match could literally be a 20-minute 16-0 or an hour and a half overtime.
Double overtime, yeah.
So I understand that that's difficult. I don't have any idea on behind the doors on how that works, but it did go over. It messed up my DVR. And I will never, ever see that missed footage. I will take that to my grave. Honestly, I the only reason I wanted to, so the producer of it is Alchemist, who's a friend of the show. And the only reason I wanted to watch the stupid end was to see the credits so I could see his name and be like, hey, I know that guy.
I know that guy.
But I didn't even get to see the credits. That's all I wanted, really, because I watched it online and everything, too. So I was watching it on my stream and on TV. I was doing my part for everyone. Because I want this
jacking with the ratings.
I was not jacking with the ratings. That's helping the ratings.
Yeah. You were two viewers, though. You were one of those 92,000 concurrent streamers and one of the 509,000 viewers on TBS.
What can I say?
TBS literally double dipped you.
That's fine with me. I want this to succeed. I will say something's weird, though, with E-League in the sense of, and tell me if you agree with me, it feels different than other leagues.
It feels more certain. When I say certain, I mean it feels more like it's important. It feels more important.
Right. Like I feel like, when they win this, I'm going to be a lot more excited to watch.
Yeah.
It's almost like the entire span of... So this is what it feels like. E-League as a whole feels like I'm constantly watching a major.
Yeah. Yeah, similar.
That's what it feels like.
ECS has the same kind of background, I guess, as far as league and the tournament. I mean, all of the leagues do. But this one, I don't know why. I agree, though. I feel like it holds more weight.
It feels different. I don't know how to describe it other than it almost feels like a major when I'm watching it every time.
Maybe it's because, TBS has the ability to take this, and if it does well, to make it bigger than any of the homegrown esports companies, like bigger than ESL, than Face It.
It could make the majors look like a minor.
Yeah.
If it really wanted to.
Right. They have the resources really to throw popular. At it.
And I think that's why I like it. And even then, it seems like just the air about it, Anders and Richard Lewis, it seems like all of them, when they do talk about it, you can tell that they're even really excited to do this. You know, it's ESL, and you have DreamHack, and you have all these little tournaments that after a while, I don't want to say they feel watered down, but sometimes I just don't want to watch Envious. I love Counter-Strike and I love it, but sometimes maybe I'll just have it on the second monitor while I play Overwatch. But this one, I really like it. E-League feels so different to me in the sense of you feel like it's going to go somewhere. That being said, I would love to talk to a TBS executive to know what is their cutoff point of if it constantly pulls a 0.2 on TV.
How long are you going to let it run?
How long are you going to let it run? Are we going to just play out the season? Or are we just going to nip this thing in the butt after week two?
Oh, I can't imagine they'll do that.
Not working.
I can't imagine. It's got to go through the length of the season.
We'll see.
It's only 10 weeks.
I think they will, just for the sake of, I feel like that would be public suicide if you do that. After all this hype and money and everything that's been put into it.
I mean, they even released a Shaq commercial.
So I think it will do well. Friday, same time. I think 9 p.m. our time is when it starts. Sort of late, but I guess that works for my schedule. But we'll see. This is the only thing that worries me. So normally on a first night like that, you would expect ratings to be higher.
Yeah.
Because
I was talking about with the Twitch numbers.
Because you have hype built and people want to watch it even if they're not interested. But this is the second week, and the first week was already considered low. Quote unquote. So we'll see. We'll see. I know, according to Twitter, a lot of people liked it. I didn't see nearly as much negative hits on this one as opposed to Heroes of the Dorm on ESPN.
Yeah.
I didn't see nearly as many.
I don't know. I feel like the people that watch ESPN are going to be slightly different than the people that watch TBS for it.
This is true. This was
could you imagine a completely
different network.
Could you imagine a big group of Big Bang Theory fans you didn't show our reruns?
How am I supposed to see that for the fifth time? So that's what I think there. As far as performance-wise, Luminosity won week one, which was Group A, right?
Yeah, Luminosity finished 10-1 in Group A. They are the first ones to qualify for
the playoffs.
In bigger news, Team Liquid, with their new roster, including Kusta and Adrin, went 0-8. With a negative 53 round differential.
Damn. So now are they completely done?
They are out. They are completely out. If you go to the HLTV.org event page, and there's this nice long list of prize distribution from first place down to 24th place, Liquid is at the very bottom at number 24, and they still got to take home $30,000.
Well,
That's the biggest American participation ribbon ever.
Do you think that helps the players care less?
No, actually, no. I've read debates about this because Lerpus, who does a lot of esports reporting and used to be professional, he was talking. He broke it down and said they got X dollars per kill or $51 a kill or something for the entirety of the tournament. Yep. And people were kind of like, Liquid shouldn't get any money for losing, but it's this is a huge tournament. They were invited. They were obviously good enough to be invited. if you're going to commit to a 10-week tournament, get something out of it. $30,000 is a lot of money. You have to get 11th through 14th place, or I'm sorry, yeah, 15th through 24th place gets $30,000.
Well, and the drive is they probably want more, right? Like, no,
right? You obviously want to win.
Like, you want win. You want to win for the sake of winning, but then for more money. I mean, even last place in any sport still is
around. You and I play pugs, and we probably rage just as hard as they do about getting 24th place. I know you know they want to play better,
right? $30,000 probably helps. You know,
that's actually half as much as like third and fourth place gets.
You can buy a lot of tissue with $30,000.
Yeah. So, and there were people complaining about the fact that third and fourth place only get $60,000 when you can finish 15 and down and get 30. Other numbers were thrown around, like the EPL's prize distribution between first and last is really small too. Like, there's not a huge number difference. I'm fine with it. I'm personally totally okay with them getting some money out of it. I'm not fine with the way Koos has been playing. He's been awful. I know there's been talks of the coach being the reason why Liquid is not doing well, but I think it has much more to do with the fact that you went from somebody of simple skill to somebody of Koosta's. I pulled up his statistics, and he did not... He went over one rating, 1.0 HLTV rating in two games, in all eight.
Just I feel wrecked. Like Liquid, we're going to possibly see a roster change soon. Just knowing the characters that are on that team, I don't think they handle losing very well. And I think fingers get pointed more or less, especially just NA teams in general. That's why you see a lot more roster moves on NA rosters. Typically tend to be younger rosters, so they have more difficulty keeping that stuff in check and just fighting through it. So I feel like Liquid's going to go. Cloud9, on the other hand, they didn't win, but they definitely played well against LG, at least for, you know, a few glimpse of the tournament there. They beat them on map 1, which was huge. I don't think anyone was even expecting him to take one map.
Right.
So nothing went off. I think it was like 27 headshots. He had a ridiculous amount of headshots that first map against Luminosity. So that was insane. Of course, they ended up falling, though, to Luminosity. But I guess they're still in, right? That's the one thing E-League is confusing me on, is the way they have this
whole thing set up. I believe they're still in.
So it's like each week is a group and then going on. I'll show up at the playoffs, and then who's ever in it, I'll watch. Moving on, though, there's E-League. Again, week 2's going on now. It's going to show up again Friday. Just keep up with it. That's all I can tell you. Support it. Let's say this, and then we can move on. Don't be one of those guys who are against esports on TV, and you're so against it, you'd rather see it fail on TV. Because for whatever reason, you have some vendetta that you don't want it on TV, and you're just, why would I want it on there? I just watch Twitch, bro. I just watch Twitch. I don't want it on TBS. I watch it on Twitch. Why would I want it there? Why not? Why not have more exposure? Put on your stupid television and put it on mute and then watch it on Twitch. Guess what? On television, you get the whole broadcast with the analysts and everything. On Twitch, they're only doing the observer cam. So in between rounds and stuff, it's just this "we'll be back later" screen. So just turn on TBS and stop being, you know, a little D about it. Because I have seen people say that, where it's like, I just don't want it on TV.
Right.
And it's like, give me one downside to that. What, they're going to make more money? I'm confused by this. They might have actual organization as far as a business goes. So if you can give me a legit reason on why you don't want esports successful on television, by all means, tweet at me. But until then, put it on and just support it. Because if you don't support it, then you won't even get support for it on the internet. So that's the way it's going to go. But let's move on here. We want to move on to Clutch or Kick. I had all this production ready for it, and now we're in a different studio because the other one we normally record in is used. So sorry. But Clutch or Kick. Let's move on to story numero uno. I actually got this email from DreamHack Austin because I bought the tickets. ESL Challenge will be at X Games Austin this year.
That's this weekend.
Is it?
Yeah, that's this weekend.
All right, well, I got the email, so they will be there. You have, basically what this is they're making more of a presence. You remember last X Games, they had
Halo
there, and it was a big deal that the competitors got medals. And
right.
That was a big controversy between some actual athletes at the X Games. And
I like how you call them actual athletes.
And gamers there. So there's that. Well, this is just a challenge. Dirt Rally will be there. So the game Dirt Rally will
be
there.
Okay, I was like...
No, yeah, it's not.
Don't they always have Rally?
No, it's Dirt Rally. You have Trials Fusion. That's the one with the motorcycle and you can't fall over. And then you have Rocket League.
I'm just going to cut you off there. I say kick.
Before that, the prizes are like items. It's not medals. According to this email, it said prizes are DX Racer chairs and more. So there's no medals, but will this cause an uproar still?
No, I don't think it will. Is this going to be like anyone can show up and play?
I think according to the email, that's what it sounded like. I think anyone can come. It's first come, first serve to sign up. So we have esports again at X Games.
Surely they're not going to like broadcast Trials Fusion.
That's what I think. The email. So this is my beef here. Is now we're calling basically any video game an
esport. Yeah.
Like, hey, you and your friends can play this esport. It's a dirt rally. It's not an esport. It's a video game. And I guess there's racing and it's competitive, but let's not brand this as some esport ESL challenge. You have Dirt Rally, Trials Fusion, and Rocket League. I guess Rocket League you can call an esport if you want, but...
Barely.
But the others, like, get out of here. That's what that is. It's a video game tent.
Yeah, they're gonna have you know, PCs or Xboxes or PlayStation set up, and people are gonna play and have a time trial. Kick all the way.
I agree with you. Kick.
That's almost not even worth a discussion.
Not even news there. And I got the email mainly because they said esports on it. We brought it up here. Tempo Storm sold their CS:GO roster to Immortals, making their way into the CS:GO world. Immortals. Clutch or kick? Does this affect Tempo Storm in any way, or does it even move your needle that now Tempo Storm has just a new image?
They just have a new sponsor. So Tempo Storm was a very inconsistent team. They had their moments where they shined and were playing very well. Like they did pretty good at DreamHack Austin we watched live, but they were never able to take that next step, right? And I wonder if separating themselves from Games Academy, which was Fallen's company that he was sponsoring them through, I wonder if them separating themselves from that kind of have now put them on a plateau because they don't have the same infrastructure behind them that Fallen gave them.
And keep in mind, this also is coming after the wake of Tempo Storm not being invited to E-League. Which right. In the article, which, by the way, how do you have an article about someone buying another team and then not put the cost in there?
It may not.
Just give me a guesstimate.
Yeah, that's so sketchy to release sometimes. I've seen
how Cologne's not a major, but that's reported.
I have, yeah, touche, that's fair. I've seen it, though, where people severely overestimate the cost of the team. I can tell you right now, Tempo Storm saw Immortals, who are I don't know if I'd call them bigger, a slightly more established team, and got a payday because they picked up the second best Brazilian team, and Brazilians are making a splash in Counter-Strike right now. They bought low and sold high. Tempo Storm did.
They definitely did. Now, this Tempo Storm, oddly enough, though, was not Immortals' first go about. They've been looking for a team. So they were looking at, I didn't write this down. Let's see if I can remember it. Splice. They looked at Splice, but Splice said, no, we actually like our organization and we like our team. We want to stick together. So kudos for them. For, you know, typically those lower tier teams
bounce around
wherever the money's at. But they like that. They looked at another team, oh, Godsent, but that one fell through because Godsent would not want to move to America. And that was one of the things, is that Immortals really wants them here. So they, that didn't work out because of logistic reasons. And then Renegades.
You got them.
Which, in the article, it was really funny. So it was like, all these other teams had reasons, and then Renegades, it was like, but then Immortals moved on. It's like, we wanted Renegades.
They were Renegades. Yeah, the direct quote is, Immortals management dropped that deal after deciding otherwise.
Like, yeah. No, we're good. We're good. We don't need the Renegades roster. So, Clutch or Kick, does this make a difference?
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say Kick, because it's going to be interesting to see, because I actually discussed it with a buddy where people who like were a fan of Tempo Storm. So are now they, what are you a fan of? You're a fan of the organization, or are you a fan of the roster?
I am more of a fan of the organization just because I enjoy watching Raynad stream, which has absolutely no bearing on the organization as far as operating goes. He's just an interesting person to watch. I'm going to say Clutch because of, in that same article you were referencing earlier from ESPN, the group of investors backing Immortals is pretty impressive. You've got Linkin Park, the band, Peter Levin of Lionsgate, which is the movie production studio. You've got co-owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. And they've brought up talent in League of Legends. I wonder if they're going to have an easier time developing them than
they might have more Tempo resources. Storm.
Yeah.
It sounds like they might have more resources. All right. So we're disagreeing on that, though, because I still think it's Kick. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's a new jersey.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's going to be. So here's this one. I don't know if you've heard this yet. So Virtus Pro, we all know Virtus Pro is now Virtus Premier, right? They're no longer
Yeah.
They're no longer considered a pro in the ESEA, ESL world. They lost their relegation game and got dropped. You ended up being last place in the pro league. The rule is you play a placement match. They lost that placement match against Penta. And so you're no longer pro. Sorry, that's the way it works. Props for them for even doing it with Virtus Pro and not giving them a pass. However, ESEA reached out to Virtus Pro and said, here's your invitation to the Premier League season 22. And Virtus Pro was like, nah, bro, you keep that. We're not going to play in it. So Virtus Pro denied it, and now they're just not going to play in the Premier League. Now, there's still one chance that they can still make it into the Pro League through a wild card tournament, which the details of that hasn't really been released yet, according to the Score article that I read. So there's still a chance that they can make it into the ESL Pro League 4. But as of now, where it stands, they're supposed to be playing in this Premier League, and they're just not going to do it.
And ESEA feeds into the ESL ESEA Pro League. Right.
Right.
I wonder what WESA is going to have to say about that.
I don't know. When I read the article, I was kind of disappointed that Virtus Pro is taking this stance. It's like, look, just
you play, sucked. You
play the cards you dealt with.
You need to play better, and if that means going through Premier, you need to do it.
They won like only 8 games or something like that in the season. They were dead last place. If you cared that much, maybe you should have performed better than dead last in the league. So why all of a sudden now are you too good for Premier League? That's what upsets me, is that there are teams that want to be there.
Right.
There are teams working their asses off to get there. And because you decided to not work as hard and take these online matches, albeit they're not as good online as they are LAN. I understand that for various reasons that could be a possibility.
But you can be not as good online and still not finish last place.
Right. You're
Virtus Pro.
You're top 5, some consider to be a top 5 team, and you get dead last, and now you're too cool for the Premier League that by the rules you qualified for, you qualify to get stepped down. and this is what you have to do to earn your way back up.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in it a different angle. I know you're going ham on Virtus Pro and their stance on it. I'm really interested to see what ESL does from it. Because ESEA, I agree, ESEA is right to hand out, and I'm happy that they did, the Premier League, and didn't just say, oh, well, these guys are Virtus Pro, it was a fluke. If they would have kicked somebody else down to Premier League instead of Virtus Pro, that would have been pandemonium, would have been absolutely insane to deal with politically. I'm super interested to see how ESL Pro League, which is currently the only WESA certified or event, handles having one of the people that helped organize the thing or one of the teams organize it not in the ESL Pro League.
So I'm going to say clutch for many reasons, because there's a lot of branches to this story, but I'm going to say clutch in the sense of this is probably something you should keep an eye on, because it kind of changes your opinion on Virtus Pro's attitude and to see how these leagues are going to handle it, like you said. So I'm saying clutch.
I'm going with clutch as well.
All right.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this turns out.
A little embarrassing, right? Maybe, am I blowing it up? Maybe it's not that big a deal.
No,
I think it's a little sad that they have these rules in place, and just because you lost, you're gonna do this. Moving on, though, I have here another Counter-Strike story. The LG versus SK debacle. Real quick, everybody knows the story essentially, but this was before or during the MLG major, like right before. LG signed a letter of intent with LG. Well, okay, I'm going to have to restart with this. The LG roster signed a letter of intent with LG organization to basically say, give us some time to think about contracts and signing with you, but we just don't want to do that right now with the major. So in between there, they ended up basically getting swooned, wined, and dined by SK Gaming and signed a contract with SK Gaming while the letter of intent was still going on. So they did this all behind LG's back, the organization. They did it all behind the organization's back. And once they won the MLG major, basically came out and said it, and they felt terrible about it, went to SK Gaming and said, We change our minds. We don't want to play for you guys anymore. We want to stick with LG. And now SK Gaming is saying, no, not going to happen. We're going to take legal action because you signed a contract saying that you are going to play for us to these terms and conditions, which are not bad terms and conditions. It's like $9,000 a month for each player, the coach and manager. They get to choose where their gaming house is, and the organization will pay them to fly, or they will pay for their trips back home to Brazil. So, I
this
mean,
is, okay, this is the contract with
SK.
Okay.
I mean, it's a nice contract.
Right.
By no means is it SK, I feel, is like trying to do one over them on them other than pressuring them to sign. Okay. So you can have your opinion on that. But nonetheless, now this whole dispute's coming out and it's public, and Fallen has made a statement on it, tugging at everyone's heartstrings and everything there. Is there anything else that I really left out? I mean, that's the gist of it. Is LG ended up, the roster of LG, of Luminosity, ended up signing a contract with SK while they were technically still under a letter of intent with Luminosity Gaming. And they changed their mind on the contract. SK is saying, sorry, but that's the point of a contract, is you signing it. And now there's this debacle going on where SK is saying, all right, you don't have to play for us, but guess what? You're still on contract and you're not going to play. I even read that in an article where SK threatened the whole...
Yeah, they're threatening litigation on it.
Yeah, where that's fine. You don't have to play with our jersey, but then you're not going to play at all for the time that you're on contract with us. So choose what you want to do. So as far as all this goes, I feel like I wanted to do a whole segment on it, to be honest with you. But then after thinking of it, I really didn't think that there was much to it other than what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been any other information that really came out, and it's kind of a big cluster of he said, she said right now.
Right. So are we clutching or kicking this whole story?
I mean, you got to clutch it, right? Because, I mean, more information is eventually going to come out, and it has to break eventually of what's going on.
I agree. And this right now, it's a little ripple that can turn into just a tsunami.
So this is what I was going to say. I think the most important part about this whole situation is, like, these professional teams are signing for big money with big organizations and big people behind it. And they'll be damned if a professional gaming team is going to be like, well, I don't really care about the contract. That's not going to fly anymore.
That's not how life works. I mean,
you're not dealing with, you know, Joe Schmo that lives four houses down that you signed a contract on a piece of notebook paper with. These are, like, legit people, like, with big lawyers. Compliment.
And I know, like, you have, like, the gaming attorney or the gamer's attorney, whatever that guy's name is, now representing players.
He's in here.
Of course he is. But, I mean, the only way they're going to get out of this, I feel, is if there's some way they can prove SK purposely tampered with, like, the terms of the letter of intent. Because I guess in that letter of intent, it was supposed to be well known that, you know, there was no negotiation or contract supposed to be signed. And that was going to be the only way that they can get the roster out of SK.
This drives me crazy, by the way. The CEO of Luminosity Gaming said, and this is a quote from the ESPN article, said, he continued to proposition, bribe, manipulate, and con my players, of whom only a few speak English, and did so with no legal representation. I've heard every single one of those people speak English. They're playing the foreigner card. They didn't know what they were doing.
They're playing a lot of cards. Just like in Fallen's thing we discussed, where they're trying to play the victim. And it's like, bro, you signed the contract. And the contract is not like some damning thing where he wants you to dress up in a monkey costume. It's to play for them. It comes up to the other discussion too with SK Gaming. Like, if you really hate them that much and you're just that much upset about it to the point where you'd rather just have them not play but still be under contract with you, that's kind of a jerk move, right? Like, do you really want players in your organization who just don't want to play for you that bad?
I just want to break this down for real quick. The whole lawyer situation. You have Ryan Morris, or the video game attorney, representing the players. Esports lawyer Bryce Blum representing Luminosity Gaming. SK Gaming's original lawyer was Petro Fringuelli, who is now the interim commissioner for WESA. He stepped down and is no longer because citing conflict of interest. They got a new lawyer named Constantine Ewald, who's the one that's been threatening the litigation. And Ralph Reichert, who is ESL CEO and WESA board member, is a partner in SK Gaming and verified on the company's register. So he's one of the helpers, one of the people that organized SK Gaming. This whole situation is just a cluster.
It's going to be a mess.
It's just a big mess.
It's a cluster F to the 10th degree. And like you said, it has to be a clutch. Like, the story is clutching it. They just got the ace in, the 15th round, because it's not going away anytime soon. Right now, there's not a whole lot there, but at any time, this could blow up and you could all of a sudden start seeing the LG roster and SK jerseys. And what are they going to do? Not play? They're just going to turn down that money? It's not going to be a happy relationship by any means, but, you know, I guess think before you sign, right? That's what the letter of intent was for. That's why LG gave you that time to think, not to go behind their back, but to do that. Moving on, though, because I think we both agree, right?
Clutch.
All right, moving on. And this is actually I read this today. This is a very concerning story. MVP Black, considered to be the number one team in Heroes of the Storm.
Right.
The Korean team, yeah. MVP Black, is considering leaving Heroes of the Storm.
For?
Their number one team. They don't know yet.
They're just going to stop playing
Heroes of the Storm. In the article, they cite a few reasons here. One is just the lack of competitive scene, which we've talked about on this show before.
Right.
Where it's just, you know, Heroes of the Storm is rounding off their 1 year anniversary, which is a bit bullsh when you think of you've been hosting tournaments since the first wave of beta. Whatever. You're rounding your 1 year public anniversary. There hasn't really been a booming in the competitive scene other than what Blizzard is hosting. There really hasn't. I mean,
there's nothing else.
Name one thing other than what Blizzard hosts.
I mean, the regionals all feed into BlizzCon. I mean, those are the big tournaments. That's it.
And there's good money in that.
Yeah, but
it's just that. And that was one thing that they were citing, is that there's just no money because there's not a lot of tournaments. And if there are, it's, you know, $5,000 the winner gets here and there. The sponsorships just aren't there like these other games because it all stems from the non-competitive scene. You know, there's not that exposure. Blizzard isn't advertising the game apart from what they feel people already know of. And the other thing, which they this is what they said. I don't agree with it, but they said that it's like too slow on updates.
No way. I definitely don't agree with that.
They literally do a balance update almost every week. And since
the game's been out, 15 new heroes?
Yeah, 15 new heroes in the first year. That's a hero, over a hero a month.
Yeah, I definitely.
Like, what the hell do you want them to do? It's a hero a month.
That's an excuse.
Yeah, that's an excuse to me. That's ridiculous. And like, there's already enough heroes in there. I don't know what you want from there. But then they also said, because the way they've been balancing the heroes, however they worded it was basically like they're taking away the skill from the heroes, where it's more you can't just have that individual skill. Which is what a lot of people complained about Heroes of the Storm to begin with, is that you don't have like someone that can just be good with that hero and carry.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't have that.
That's been a complaint from the beginning. It's always been a team fight game.
Yeah, it's always been labeled that way, and you're never going to have that one hero that just can.
I definitely don't feel like. I mean, the only. You can hit on a couple heroes that have been nerfed to a point that they're not played as much, but I can't think of anyone that they've just completely taken the skill of playing out of, unless you count when they made Li Ming. She never had skill to begin with. But
I don't know.
I feel like the only valid reason they've given is that the competitive scene is too small, and then
they can't make the money.
And then Blizzard's gone and killed it anyway.
With Overwatch.
With their own game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the release of Overwatch and the amount of money in that to advertise it is just through the roof. A lot of people are just dropping their casual games to play Overwatch now. So, and we're really kind of one of them. Because we used to play Heroes of the Storm all the time, and now it's kind of like, eh.
That's what I said earlier today. I was like, hey, look, Heroes of the Storm is going to release an unranked draft mode that we've been asking for
they're finally
for 6 months.
Yeah, they're finally doing this
like,
giant update.
I was like, too little, too late. I got a new bay. I'm going to go play Overwatch.
The queues were already like 5 minutes for a quick match.
Yeah.
I don't need to wait 10.
Yeah.
So I'm going to clutch the fact that your number one team is considering of leaving your game. Like, that is a big story, and that's something Blizzard should really be worried about. Is that if you're the number one team in the world is going to leave their game. Like, that's nothing just to be like, eh, it happens. Teams drop out all the time. But not the number one. Not the number one team. Rosters might split up and break apart, but they don't unanimously just decide to not play the game.
I say kick along just because it's Heroes of the Storm and it's dying. If they leave, I imagine it'll be like one of the final nails in the coffin of the competitive scene. I could see Blizzard doing one more Heroes of the Dorm or one more BlizzCon tournament, but it's going to be like relegated to the upstairs level in the back of the tournament, kind of like Hearthstone was at DreamHack Austin.
Do you feel that the first year that there is no Heroes of the Dorm, that's the official Blizzard's dump?
Yeah, Heroes of the Dorm is like their big thing.
They'll have a tournament at BlizzCon because that's
it's BlizzCon.
I mean, it's BlizzCon, and they have a total of 5 games. So they're going to always have tournaments there. They even have WoW tournaments. That's fine. But when there's no external Heroes of the Dorm tournament, that's, I think, when you can officially say it's done.
Yeah, I agree.
It's time to turn the page. So that's it. That's all I have for Clutch and Kick. It was a very good segment. It'll probably be back at some point. with production value because we'll actually have our normal studio. Or in fact, by the time this is back, I can guarantee you we'll probably actually have our video studio set up. And, you know,
we're like two steps away from that.
We're probably two episodes away. Maybe. We are really bad procrastinators, so.
We got chairs, though.
We have chairs and a green screen. So, hey, we just got to get that camera, which, yeah, how important is a camera for a streaming show? Anyways, moving on real quick, because we're already almost at an hour, and I live an hour away now.
Overwatch.
Kill me. Overwatch. Overwatch just came out, obviously. They had their first weekend of tournaments. Two tournaments here. You had TakeOver, which was held in Deutschland. That is the first official LAN tournament of Overwatch because it started before Agent Rising. Both of them had different setups. Okay. TakeOver had your traditional, if you win the map, you win, move on. And the tiebreaker for the payload was whoever did it faster. Okay.
Right.
Agent Rising did it a little different. I don't know if I like it. It's really hard to follow.
That's the one that's like, if this person...
Read it all. I'll read the scoring format for you here. Because as someone who was watching, it was really hard to follow. Like, they need to have that on screen at all times or something. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's a new game and I was halfway watching it while playing. It was really difficult and I don't know if I like it. Anyway, so here it is. Teams will get points in a best of three or best of five series because the finals were best of five. The series is considered won if a team is unable to either tie or pass their opponent's score. If at the end of the series the score is tied, the winner is determined by a single round of King of the Hill capture point, chosen randomly. I don't like that already. I feel like that's almost like a shootout in hockey to decide who wins the game.
Right.
We're doing all this and you're going to decide a winner by one round of King of the Hill? Just play one King of the Hill map. So it's a best of three. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a winner by the end of it.
Yeah.
But a one round, that seems kind of lame. Intense, but lame. You know, a shootout, that's very intense, but it's kind of lame when you think of...
Yeah.
We just played 5-on-5 hockey and now we're ending it like this. Well, you just played a very competitive game and now you're going to end it with one round. Seems a little eh. On payload maps, on payload and point capture maps, there you go. Teams will receive 1 point for successfully attacking or defending. If both teams won on the attacking side, then the team with the faster map time will receive an extra point. So the tiebreaker.
I hate that too. That's a 3-point system. I mean, it's the same thing as when you have in going back to hockey, when you have points for overtime, everyone starts getting what we call, you know, the loser point. No, if both teams win on the attack, you do something else. I mean, I like the time thing. Like whoever does it faster
just wins the map.
Yeah. It just gets the map point.
Essentially is what they do, but they use point system. So it's if you score, then you get 1 point, which I guess is a way to still keep you in the game. I guess that can make for exciting drama, but it could also make it to where if you lose, you could still win the match.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
If that was the last map and say they needed two, but then all of a sudden you get one, then they would win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mathematically, that could happen, right?
Yeah, if all they need is 1 point, you could technically lose the map, but still win.
Because you get the one.
Because you get that 1 point from winning in the attack side.
Right. So I don't know. I guess that can create some exciting, like crazy scenarios, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I like that. And then on King of the Hill maps, teams will receive 1 point for each capture point taken of the best of three. So that's another one where you can lose and still get 1 point. So essentially winning a King of the Hill gets you 2 points. Because you captured two things.
That's just a whole bunch of unnecessary.
So that's...
a whole bunch of unnecessary.
Let's see here. On King of the Hill maps, we'll receive one extra point. In the grand finals, this is what I don't... Well, I'm... So it's, you know, there's a loser whatever. There's a loser bracket.
The so winner's bracket got an extra point or something, right?
Yeah. The person who goes into the grand finals from the winner brackets starts with 2 extra points. to basically make up for the fact of they can't lose and then redo everything again.
Right.
It's not a double elimination for them. They just get the 2-point
advantage. So they essentially start a map up.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Theoretically, they start a map up.
Your point system...
It's very confusing to me.
If we have to have a 10-minute conversation on how it works, just throw it out the door.
The game has a built-in system to tell you who wins and loses. It's called the map.
Yeah.
It's a best of three King of the Hill. Whoever captures 2 points gets the map.
Yeah.
So they're up 1-0. Why are we adding points? The only one that makes sense to me is the capture, the payload. But at the same time, just have the faster time win the map, which is what all the other tournaments that I saw doing.
Yeah, that's the simplest way to do it. It's the simplest. It makes the most sense.
It was just really weird. And even the commentators, the casters for it, like you could tell they were even like trying to number crunch in their head of like, oh, but this scenario could happen and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, could it though? Like, I don't.
Do you think?
Is that right?
There's a lot of twos and ones.
Do we have a calculator here? I don't know. If they do this, how does it work? So there's that. Overall, though, from beta tournaments to now, they're a lot better. They've stuck a lot more. So in these tournaments, how we were saying,
there's a lot of
first person
was
which
most,
is good.
Was mostly used. It's good, but it's the game is so freaking hectic.
But they're starting to learn on what heroes to watch.
Yeah.
You know, you need to watch certain heroes, not... Don't go on Mercy, you know? So they're starting to learn that. They're starting to get away from constantly being in third person and trying to follow the game, because that's impossible. You lose all the excitement that way, I feel. So overall, I thought it was a fun weekend of Overwatch tournaments. The Agents Rising one was a better tournament for me. That had, you know, more North American presence. Actually, all North American presence, but... You had Cloud9, Team Liquid, Cloud9 going first place, Liquid going second. Cloud9 is an unreal team.
They just rolled over everybody.
As a Cloud9 fan, it makes me very sad to watch them in Counter-Strike, but it makes me very happy to watch them in Overwatch.
Bought that tank for the CS team, repping it for the Overwatch team
because
now.
Because that is an animal. They are an animal in Overwatch. It's insane. Real quick, though, let's get down to E-News, which is the new micro. Last time I've ever going to refer to it. It's E-News now, people. Get in your heads. First up on E-News, I have the Dota 2 Manila Major. That's starting this weekend. We're going to watch it. I always watch them. You're going to watch some Dota. You're going to watch some Dota this weekend. I promise you, they're fun. That starts this weekend. We're going to recap a little bit of it next week as well. I have EVO. They actually set up another record. They are now going to be the official largest Smash U tournament as well, as they've already broke records for Street Fighter and everything. I don't know how they're going to support that many people. Like, that's going to be a mess. I feel like that the tournament organizers are... They should have put a cap some... Like, I don't know. Yeah. That just sounds like you threw a party an open door policy and it got out of hand
quick.
Like someone invited their friends and this friend invited their friends and it just kept going and going before you had anything else left to do. What else do you have for E-News,
sir? I've got two things. Red Bull has introduced their Proving Ground Street Fighter V series starting in June 12th. The cities are going to be in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Seattle, Chicago, Atlanta, and Toronto. I don't believe it has anything to do with... Oh, yeah. It all feeds into the Capcom Pro Tour.
Awesome.
And finally, in kind of interesting news, a group of esports companies have come together to make a female and male combined esports tournament for Counter-Strike.
It's 2016, bro. It's
called Skyla. Skyla CSGO Tournament Series. Apparently, it's going to be like 12 tournaments. Top prize is going to be $17,500. Brought to you by Unicorn, ChallengeMe.gg, Noble Chairs, and Gosu Gamers. Beginning, I literally just saw this, 26th of June. Wait, that's the final play day. It starts on June 4th. It starts in a couple days.
It's a very non-news story that does not move my needle whatsoever.
What about this? The females have...
They're wearing bikinis.
Negative. That would have been on CGS. So there's 12 total teams invited. Eight male, four female. And there will be two female teams that are only there through open qualifiers. There's going to be an open qualifier held for just the female teams, where the top two female teams in open qualifiers get an invite.
That almost seems more offensive. Well, but than if you just let them play,
there's eight male teams, and in total, there's only going to be six female teams.
I feel like we're trying too hard. Like, you just need to let it happen naturally. Just let it happen naturally.
I'm chalking this one up to like good idea, really bad execution going on so far.
Like I said, it almost seems like it's more offensive. Yeah. Like if you just would have let a tournament happen, it would have been less offensive.
Yeah.
Now you're trying too hard to make me feel included. When will we learn? When will we learn?
There's a reason we're still doing this show for free.
That's right. It's a lot of reasons. But not this episode, because this episode is over. Thank you so much for listening to the Center Ring TCR, your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Episode 32 is finished. It's done. Check us out on Twitter at the Center Ring. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at BrandAnyNew. You can go to our website and follow everything that we do. It's tcr.gg. You'll find all the latest episodes, the show notes, timestamps, out-of-date YouTube channels, a Twitch channel that doesn't have anything on it.
That's all yet.
It's all about to happen on Twitch, though, so keep an eye on there. I'm sure we'll be running test streams eventually, just messing around, playing some games. I don't know. Either way, let us know what you think of the show. We love doing it, and we hope you love listening to it. Again, tcr.gg is the site. The Center Ring is the show. And we'll see you next week for episode 33.